Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of three great games that you can get right now. You got Out of the Park Baseball 18 available today for just $39.99. It is the follow-up to the 2016 Metacritic PC Game of the Year. It is jam-packed full of all sorts of cool new features this year, including obviously the real teams and players from 2017 all the way up and down from the major leagues all the way down to the low minors. It's got a cool new challenge mode, which lets you compare and contrast yourself with your friends. It's got the historic Negro League, so the very first time ever you can do amazing what-if scenarios with great players of the past, and a whole bunch of other cool new things, too. You can also check out Franchise Hockey Manager 3. It is a terrific hockey strategy game, just in time for the Stanley Cup playoffs. If you're a big fan of hockey like I am, Franchise Hockey Manager 3 lets you right the wrongs or relive the glories of your favorite hockey team from today or yesteryear. And we've got not only obviously the NHL is licensed it, and we got all the NHL teams and players. We've got a bunch of cool international leagues too. So there's all sorts of great stuff going on in Franchise Hockey Manager 3. You can pick that up today for just $39.99. And of course, you've got MLB Manager 2017, the pocket version of Out of the Park Baseball. You can take it on the go. It's just $4.99, available on Android and iOS devices. It has got the 2017 real players and teams and schedule, plus a couple of historic seasons thrown in for good measure. And it's also getting regular updates, including soon the latest upgrade from the Korean leagues with all the players and teams from that league. So there's all sorts of cool stuff happening in MLB Manager 2017 as well. So check them out today. Out of the Park Baseball 18, Franchise Hockey Manager 3, MLB Manager 2017. You can't go wrong. It's amazing sports strategy, and it's delivered to you by Out of the Park Developments, sponsors of today's Press Row Podcast. Enjoy the show, everybody.
It's been 5.5 years since EA Sports last released an edition of NBA Jam. Now we have an independent development studio that's delivered a game which looks and plays an awful lot like it, and that's eliciting natural comparisons between the two. While there have been a number of arcade-style and kind of untraditional sports games in the last couple years, this is the first one to feature with it league backing in the form of full licensing. Welcome to the Press Row Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Weedeye, Pasta Padre. With me tonight, we've got a panel together to discuss the brand new NBA Playgrounds. Before we get to talking about the game, though, let's check in with each one of them and get caught up on what everybody's been up to lately. First, Rich Grisham, Out of the Park Developments, hit the pass. Welcome back to the show. What have you been playing lately? What's been on your agenda?
A lot of racing, a lot of Mario Kart 8, and a lot of Forza Horizon 3, in particular the Hot Wheels DLC pack, which my son and I have been playing. But before I get to that, I got to tell you, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch is great. It's really as much fun as you can have in a video game. I've been able to have a blast playing it, my son and I, against each other in split screen, which has been just great fun. And what's also been cool is my son has gotten really good at it. So, like, if I got to win, I got to legit win. There's no more sort of, okay, I'll hang back a little bit, because he's gotten really good. So we have really intense races that get, you know, they get a little tense, a little angry sometimes. You know, sometimes we say some things to each other we don't really mean, but that's what Mario Kart does to you, right? I mean, that's what blue shells do. That's what lightning does. You know, Mario Kart is just a roller coaster experience every single race. And it is so appealing to so many people and so beautifully designed. So we've been playing a lot of that. And what's been interesting is the Forza Horizon 3 Hot Wheels pack has come out in the last few days. And, you know, he's a little kid. He's a little boy. He loves Hot Wheels. I love Hot Wheels, right? So when that came out, I immediately picked it up, and we've been playing it. And it's a really beautiful, fun, whimsical take on a very fun take on a very serious racing game, right? If you follow the Forza proper to the Forza Horizon, and then you add the Hot Wheels, the fact that you're racing both these Hot Wheels cars as well as these legitimate real world cars on these crazy, impossible tracks, which involve loop-de-loops and turbo boosts and all sorts of stuff that literally makes no sense in the Forza world, but works perfectly
and again, appealing to a broad array of people, the serious racers, because it's the Forza Horizon series, and the kids who play Mario Kart. Like, Forza Horizon 3 races very different than Mario Kart, but it's a wonderful game. So that's what I've been playing. A lot of racing going on around the Grisham household these days.
All right, TJ Lowerman, that sports gamer, you're back. We had a nice long discussion last week about Diamond Dynasty. Now we're on to some new stuff. What else you been up to?
You can guess what I've been playing, Brian. Yeah. You may have heard of it. It's called Diamond Dynasty.
Yeah, I did. I do recall that somehow.
Yeah, trying to get into that World Series level of ranked seasons there. My last three games have gone into extra innings. I've won two of them, and it's been some of the most stressful times, wanting to rip my hair out nonstop. Played a little bit of the game that we're going to be talking about tonight. And I've also been hunting the most dangerous game in Hitman. There was an elusive target this weekend I went after. I got myself killed pretty quick there, accidentally. But I was able to get a kill in one of the levels by throwing a remote detonated rubber ducky into an RV's vent on top of it. Uh-huh. And then a cop was like, "What's this?" He picked it up, walked outside. Then my target walked by him, and I blew them both up. And it was pretty awesome. And I'm very sad to hear that Square Enix is not happy with the sales of the game. And it looks like they're going to cut ties with IO Interactive. But yeah. Hitman's a really, really good game, and I highly recommend anybody pick it up.
I will second that. I don't like these kinds of games, but Hitman is an amazing take on it's unique, and it's really well done, and the flexibility that you can do. I mean, it's very macabre, very brutal, but it's also brilliant. And so, yeah, I echo TJ, and not only that it's great, but also just, you know, sad to hear about the fact that the guys who make it are seemingly out of the Hitman business.
Finally, we got Chris, a.k.a. Millennium OS, here from Operation Sports. Chris, what have you been doing lately?
Playing a lot of, again, the game we're going to talk about tonight, NBA Playgrounds. I have two full-fledged franchises going in MLB The Show right now, one for the stream and one off-stream. And I've gotten overwhelmed by a single player game for the first time in a long time. Over the last week, I have been completely engulfed with Nier Automata, and it is by Square Enix. It is a game I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And it is a action RPG, is the best way to describe it, but it has so many different little nuances involved in it. There's shooting involved in it. There's different they bring you into different views in the game. Like, there's a top-down shooter portion of it. There's it really blows my mind what they've done with it in terms of mixing up gameplay and how gorgeous it is. So that is taking up about 50% of my time. 50% sports gaming, 50% of that, and then 100% Spurs fan, because they're gonna beat the Warriors in six.
Really?
Don't at me. It's happening.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, my brother's a Spurs fan, too. And he's realistic, though. he knows that probably ain't happening. But he's just happy to be there and get past the Rockets, because he really dislikes them. So, well, let's talk about a new game, all right? You know, we're always excited when we get new sports games, because over the years, we've lost so many of them. Independent developers have started giving us those, and the latest here is from Saber Interactive. This is an independent studio, no history of sports games. They've made shooters, action games in the past, but nothing to do with sports. So it's interesting to see them get involved here, and especially because it's got the backing of a league. It's got the NBA full licensing, which is rare, not just because leagues generally don't give out licenses on consoles anyway to smaller development studios. They go to the big ones with the history of creating these games that represent their brand so well. But because it costs so much money, and for an independent outlet to get a hold of that and create a brand new game from scratch is really a tall order, and it's something most won't even consider at the outset. So it's an interesting situation we have here, but basically you're looking at an NBA Jam clone, as I said at the top of the show, but it does have some differences, and we'll be getting into that a little bit. But let's just start off with general feeling about the game, and then we'll break down individual elements of it. You know, for me, I'll start with myself here. I think NBA Playgrounds is fun in bursts. I look at it and I say, I think it's better than expected for a first effort from an independent studio that's never made sports games before. But it does lack content, and I think long-term interest is probably going to fade on this unless they really hit it hard with post-release support. And it, to me, a big thing to do with this game is they wouldn't have gotten the license, they wouldn't have been given the license either, if they didn't have a long-term plan, and that includes post-release support, and that includes sequels. So I think it's really kind of more of a foundation than analyzing this as a one-off type game. So I'm not as hard on it as maybe some others. I've seen some reviews, I've heard from some other people. I generally like it, but I have caveats, of course, that we'll get into later. Rich, start off with your thoughts on the game.
So I echo you. I genuinely like it. And I bought it day one, $20, right? And I went into it with low expectations because of exactly what you said. To make a licensed game is expensive, especially for an independent studio, and it takes up a significant amount of your financial resources just to do that. However, if you got the license, well, then you're playing in the big leagues and you got to step up and deliver. I mean, that's part of the deal. And I did not expect it to deliver, or let me rephrase, I was concerned about its ability to deliver, and sure, those concerns were alleviated because it's a good game. There's a lot of stuff that you may or may not like at the detail level, but it's a good game. It works. It's fun. It is harkens back to a number of different games in the past. There's some depth to it from the gameplay perspective that you have to learn. It doesn't hold your hand. I also have a strong feeling that it's not the game that the original design original design called for. And by that, I mean, it's not done. Like, they didn't get everything done that they wanted to get done.
Yeah.
But they clearly had a release date. They have a release window that it makes sense to release the game because of where we are in the calendar with the NBA playoffs and where they were with the development, where they knew they could ship a viable product. Mm-hmm. So I fully expect a number of improvements. I fully expect an expansion of modes. But that's how every game is now. So that's not an unrealistic expectation. And as a consumer who paid $20 for it with what I played so far, I'm very happy with my purchase. A lot of problems with it, but overall very happy.
Did you get it on the Switch, Rich?
I did not. Oh. I got it on the PlayStation 4 because I just wanted what I thought was the best version of it. Mm-hmm. As we probably talked about before, I plan on getting FIFA and NBA 2K for the Switch because mm-hmm. I want those on the go. But I'll probably buy NBA 2K on the PS4 as well. And I may or may not buy FIFA. I get EA Access. I mean, I have EA Access, so I get early access. But anyway, long story short is I wasn't going to buy two copies of Playgrounds. I can see me buying a couple of copies of FIFA because of what it gives me with the ability to play it on the go and at home. But no, I got it on the PS4.
All right, Chris, give me your kind of high-level thoughts just surrounding this release of NBA Playgrounds as we sit here today.
I think it hits a very important niche that's been ignored for a very long time, and that's arcade sports games. We've been without arcade sports games now, like you said, 5 years since NBA Jam. I don't know how long it's been since the bigs. NHL Hits was one. I know Mutant Football League is coming out soon, which will come back near it for football. But this for me is not as much. And I love the game. I'm having a lot of fun with the game. I have my individual issues with it, which we'll talk about. But it's more so that it's licensed and it's back in a niche in the sports gaming world that needs to be hit. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to see an arcade sports game do well because, like you said, I've seen some negative reviews, but overall, I think people were, as Rich was, pleasantly surprised by how good it is considering it's licensed. And there have been rumors that there are going to be patches and content for it. I actually had somebody claiming to be close to the developer. And again, this is a rumor. So in one of my streams on release night, saying they were going to add more players to it and they were going to try to patch some of the gameplay mechanics. So again, as Rich said, the game may not be complete. They took a couple things, and I think this game goes from, like, you know, just okay to good to being very, very good and challenging online as well.
Yeah, and it's $20. That's
exactly. Yeah, $20. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, and I just, as you guys have alluded to, expectations going in is an important thing, because I got the sense early on over the last couple months since, or it wasn't even a couple months, it was a month or so since it was announced, that people kind of expected this is just an NBA Jam. And I tried to temper expectations a bit and say they're not going to come out very first try, very first edition of this brand new game that they built, and it's not going to be NBA Jam yet. So just going in with those expectations is important. And then also trying to find, you know, what did they tweak that made the formula better? Maybe there are a few things they changed that made the formula worse. But it was important just to kind of approach it with that in mind. Not just the price, but also, hey, you know, an independent studio, first time out. There's going to be some issues, but you hope that they get it situated well enough that they can build from there. TJ, I know you're not really a basketball video game guy, right? So what did you think of NBA Playgrounds?
Well, initially when, you know, we heard about this coming out, I was like, okay, that's cool. I know. I mean, I like NBA Jam and stuff. I'll see how this turns out. And then actually, literally like last week, I was like, all right, I know this is coming out. Let me check out the trailer that they had. And I saw it and I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool for, like, for what it's trying to be, you know, like an updated NBA Jam thing. And I really liked the On Fire edition of NBA Jam that came out, but I think you said like 5 years ago. And I was always disappointed that they never, like, kept that game up with just, like, simple roster updates or anything. Mm-hmm. I felt like that could have really been something if they would have just put a little bit of work into it. Even though we know that was supposed to be, wasn't that initially supposed to be, like, an add-on to Elite 11 or something way back in the day?
Yeah, there was...
or 12?
There was an idea of a bundle at one point.
Yeah.
That did not materialize, yeah.
Yeah, so when I got it and I started playing, I was like, all right, this has the look and everything, but just the feel did not really come together for me with how it shoots and stuff, stuff that we'll get into more depth. But it gives off that impression that it's NBA Jam-esque, but I just feel like it really didn't follow up on that that initial expectation of mine. It felt more like a paint by numbers NBA Jam clone.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's start with gameplay, because that's ultimately what matters, and that feeds into whether it's fun or not. Chris, what are your favorite things about the gameplay that NBA Playgrounds does?
I like that they balanced to an extent the steals and the moves. Like I like that there are crossovers in the game that are effective. I like the step back as a strategy. I like that it seems on the surface that everything in the game has a counter, with the exception of one major point for me. Mm. Like everything in the game has a counter. I think it's very important when you take this game online to understand that if a guy is going to be shooting three-pointers against you, you can shove him. If a guy is going to try to extensively dribble against you, use a bunch of his crossovers, well, then you can lower his stamina out and know he can't dunk on you. Like there's always a counter for something, which again, when you take a game online, is important. I wish that the steel mechanic had a little bit of a stamina chip to it, but for me, I was deeper than NBA Jam was going to be. And that's what really surprised me the most. And what I like the most is it's not just, all right, walk up the court, dunk, walk up the court, dunk, walk up the court, dunk, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, for me, I think it's the various strategies that you can employ, and they did a good job of putting into place the mechanics there for you to take advantage of certain things or utilize certain skills and various skill sets of the players. And it's things like stamina, managing your stamina, because if your stamina is low, you can't shove, you can't steal. If your stamina is low, you can't dunk. So you have to pay attention to those things and use them selectively. And then also you can pay attention, like you said, Chris, to what your opponent's doing and their stamina, and know that his stamina is drained. He can, you see someone swipe at you, you know they can't swipe at you again right after that, and you're going to get a clear shot if you want to take it. Also things like the power-ups, which aren't explained very well and are a bit imbalanced, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, but how you utilize those when you get them is important. And then they also give you an extra point for timing your shot perfectly, and we'll be talking about shot timing later. But if you're able to take advantage of that, obviously that plays a big role. So besides that, the animations, the dunk animations get pretty cool and things of that nature. So there's a lot that I liked about it. Rich, your favorite things about the gameplay that you found so far?
I like the fact, and this is going to sound ridiculous, right? I like the fact that I have no idea whether I'm doing a good job or not until the ball goes in the basket. You know what I mean? Like, I literally have no idea. And if I'm doing a jump shot, it's completely different than if I'm doing a layup, which is completely different than if I'm doing a dunk. I feel like a dunk's, I at least have some semblance of an idea when to let go of the button. On other shots, I have literally no idea. And because it gives you no feedback, you don't know. But you know what? Kind of part of me is just like, okay, I just got to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, the game is saying, all right, look, you have to figure it out. And there's something to that. And again, trust me, I would love feedback. I would love some sort of a meter or something. On the other hand, it's like, okay, this is that kind of game. You got to figure it out. Some people won't like it. Some people will like the challenge. I don't know. It sounds silly, but I kind of like that. And I also, to echo what Millennium said, like the chess match, the shot, you know, possession by possession, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to, steal a couple, two or three times and then give it up if you don't get it, the risk reward? Are you going to take the three? Threes are easy to make, but they don't really, I don't think, fill up your meter that much, right? So, you know, okay, that's interesting. I like that. And then, and again, it sounds silly, right? But the power-ups, having no idea when they will go into effect or what they will do, but when they're happening, like, oh, okay, I guess I just got 4 points for no reason other than my stamina bar or my, you know, it's silly in that matter, where it almost like delights and like, okay, you just got to figure it out. And I realize you're only a Google search away from figuring this stuff out, but I haven't done that Google search, and I've just been kind of having fun just like letting the game sort of happen without a lot of the things that you sort of consider standard features in sports games.
So, TJ, I know you're annoyed by some of the things, but what do you like most? And then we'll get to that other stuff in a bit.
The thing I like the most is all the stuff that they did with the right stick on offense. I feel like in arcade basketball games, I felt like in the past, the only real way to drive to the hole was either just have a guy that's fast and run by someone, or pump fake, hope they jump and then go. But now having the crossover and stuff, I thought it was a really nice addition. And they kept it kind of simple, not doing like quarter turns and stuff. Just having it left, right, up and down was a smart move.
Yeah, I think that gives you a lot of opportunities there. And at first I thought like the crossovers were really, they're really dramatic. And I thought it was weird. And then once you upgrade your player moves, they kind of get more natural and cooler. It's a nice touch there too, but yeah, it gives you some extra opportunities there to get to the hole and get by defenders. And one of the important things about crossovers are that when you execute them, you can't be swiped, you can't be shoved. So that's a positive too. You can avoid some of those tactics the defenders are using. Now, on to the things we don't like, and I'll start us off there because I got a handful here. The rebounding is terrible. You basically just have to luck into rebounds or let your CPU teammate
rebound the ball, which they seem very good at, actually, especially on the offensive side. The shot timing, we'll talk about that here. I'm sure all of us will. Layups are the most difficult shot in the game to make. I don't think I've made a single one. And then there's a wait after a made basket, which is a design decision, which I can probably share why I think they did that. But basically, the ball, after a made basket, you can't inbound it until the defenders are back on the other side of the court and set. So that kind of messes with the flow a bit. And there's even an animation that a few players have, like LeBron after a big dunk. He'll stand there and taunt for literally, I don't know, 5-plus seconds, and that delays it even more. So I'd like to see something with that change. But those are my biggest gripes right off the top. Rich, what do you dislike about the game so far?
I don't love the card collecting mechanic.
Okay.
In that, I really would prefer, and this just because I'm biased because of how I used to play these kind of games, but I would prefer when you beat a team, you get to pick one of their players. Mm-hmm. That just personally to me feels more fun, but that's just because what I know. But I don't love the card collecting part. So, mm-hmm. I just don't feel like I'm advancing the way that I would traditionally want to. So that would be my answer.
Okay. Chris, what have you disliked most about the gameplay or as Rich went into a little, the structure around it?
My two major dislikes, are that the swiping, the steal mechanism doesn't have it. It's not tied to the stamina bar at all. It gives, with the balance I talked about earlier, gives a little lack of that in terms of you can swipe 30 times, but if you do two crossovers without holding the turbo button, your turbo bar is deleted. Mm. Now, granted, they kind of make up for that with the shove mechanism deletes your entire stamina bar, but I'd like to see that stamina, like the swipe mechanism, get a little bit of a chip on the stamina bar so that way you have to use it a little more judiciously. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I don't like, which this is an arcade basketball thing that goes all the way back to NBA Jam, I really don't like that it takes a huge difficulty spike against the computer in tournaments very quickly. Like, it feels like I'm facing Magic and Dirk in London. I'm sorry, the last game in London, and I've tried to beat it 15 times, and I've come close, but it seems like every time I come close, Magic or Dirk hits a three-pointer, that it's a perfect time shot, and then they continue to do that.
I was going to say a three-pointer? Don't you mean a four or a six-pointer?
Yeah, because that's exactly. That's exactly what I mean. Is like, it seems like that they hit those perfect shots a little too often, and again, you kind of get that. I saw QJ beat he actually posted a video of him facing off against Shaq and Iverson. And it almost made him rage completely off the game because they're one of the boss battles, I think. So I can't even imagine with the problems I'm having with Magic Johnson and Dirk Nowitzki moving on to something like that where Iverson's like one of the cover athletes. So
yeah, he's the front man. Yeah,
exactly. So the difficulty spike, while I understand it, again, NBA Jam, they all the major sports, arcade sports titles of our youth had that difficulty spike at one point or another. It just takes me completely out of the game, considering that's how you get card packs too, is playing tournament games. You get the nice card packs from that.
Yeah, as far as the CPU AI goes, I agree with you there, and I think besides the tendency for them to get the perfect time shots and the extra points, their power-ups seem to be better than the ones I get. I don't know if that's just my perception or what. They seem to often get the times two for shots, and now that I've unlocked the 3-point one, they get the 3 points time two. And I don't think I've even got that one yet myself. So that can be a little irritating. And then also, they can do things that you can't do. Like I mentioned earlier, rebounding. As you should never try and jump for a rebound in this game, okay? Because you cannot sense where you are on the court compared to where the ball is on the court. It just doesn't work. And that's kind of the same way in trying to block shots, too. I rarely get a block shot because I'm just out of position and can't tell. But you'll see the computer come soaring through for a rebound and a putback jam, right? And be like, I can't do that, though. So
I have...
Yeah.
Well, I have found rebounding-wise, the thing that's helped me the most is I don't watch the ball. There's actually a spot on the court, a white circle on the court, that if you go to that spot, you'll get the rebound. And you can't jump to that spot, but if you jump off of that spot, it jumps towards the ball.
Okay.
But again, they don't explain that to you.
Yeah. Well,
because, as Rich said, the tutorial is very, you know, it's not going to hold your hand. It wants you to learn the game, which I think in this kind of game, they really should be a little better with the tutorial. But other than that, like, yeah, I think rebounding wise, if you're having problems with it, follow the spot on the court instead of following the ball.
Good tip. Good tip. TJ, what has frustrated you the most with gameplay in NBA Playgrounds?
For me, the number one thing has definitely been the whole timing of the shooting mechanic, mainly because it's an arcade basketball game. And sometimes you're taking crazy shots that you're way off balance on for no apparent reason. And you just have no idea what the timing is. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm diving like to the side, because in my mind, you shoot when you hit the apex of your jump or when you're about to hit the apex of your jump. And that does not seem to be what it is in here. And then the thing that really threw me off with this game was I went for a dunk and missed a dunk late, which made no sense to me until I realized that you have to release the shot like while you're in the air. Which I don't think I've ever... I can't remember a game that has made you do something while you're doing a dunk. I feel like you've always just... Because I can remember, like, squeezing down the button on the Genesis controller when I was dunking in, like, NBA Jam Tournament Edition. So that really threw me off. And as you said, it's very hard to get the timing of layups because your body could be moving all sorts of ways and... You don't know when the perfect time is supposed to be. If they put some kind of meter, even if it was like under the guy, like where the stamina is, like I think that's how 2K does it, right? It's on that same thing.
Like where on the meter now. I don't remember where the meter is.
At some point, or maybe it was Live that put it on like with like the stamina bar below him. Sure. If they had some sort of feedback, because sometimes it'll say, you know, just as early and late at the end of the shot.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'll shoot early and then I'll get late and then I'll get another late, but I actually shot it earlier than the early before. And
yeah, I think the timing depends on the shot type. It also seems to maybe depend on the distance of the shot. I'm not entirely sure on that. It seems like the farther away you are, the longer you need to hold it. But I may be wrong on that, actually. And then the layups, to me, I think it's because you get put into a layup if you're low on turbo. So usually what happens is you're going in for what you're anticipating to be a dunk. And it gives you a layup animation, and by the time you realize it, it's too late. No matter when you release it, it's too late. So that, I think, is the reason why I miss every layup late. But it's absurd when LeBron James is like right next to the rim, and he's missing layup after layup. I can't believe that in an arcade game is the most difficult thing to do is make a layup. It should just be that a layup is easy, but maybe it's easier to get blocked. I mean, things like that. That's where the balance probably should be on layups, I would think. But
Make it not fill up your bar as much as like a cool dunk or something.
Right. Yeah, you're not going to get as much of credit for scoring in that manner. So yeah, you know, there's ups and downs with the gameplay. There's the good and the bad, and I think we covered most of that. So I want to talk a little bit about what Rich brought up, which was the roster unlocking system. So they have card packs. They are not like Ultimate Team modes or Diamond Dynasty or My Team, where you're earning currency and unlocking them, or you are paying money to get packs. But what's happening is as you rank up in the game and as you complete tournaments, you are awarded with these packs, and you open them, and you, that's how you unlock the players. Now, there's two sides to this, which I think are both negatives, and one is that you may never get the player that you really want. I mean, if you go into this game with Allen Iverson, like we said, as the front man, and you're excited for Allen Iverson, and you spent 6 hours playing, you may not have Allen Iverson yet, which is really frustrating. There's some players that I would like to have, but I've been stuck with, you know, I found ones I like, but I've been stuck with who I've got. So the motivation then, they're trying to give you motivation to keep playing more so that you unlock the rest of the roster. But on the flip side, you could also get lucky and get the guys you want right at the start, and then you don't even care about any of that. So I think it's a flawed kind of system as far as getting the method of progression here that they've instituted. I don't think it's really going to motivate people very well. I think it's more frustrating than anything to have a roster that you know who's supposed to be there, but you can't get to them yet. You might actually be playing against them, but you can't use them yourself. So, Millennium, do you agree with me on that, or do you actually like what they're doing here with how they open up the roster?
I agree with you that I'd like to be able to purchase the guys that I want.
Oh,
but
you want to purchase them?
Well, I mean, or like, you know, get the guys that you just said you wanted to get the guys you want, but like, the problem is that there's not enough guys. Like, there, if you let people buy packs, all of the guys would be unlocked within the first week. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of the guys are unlocked now. I see a lot of guys with LeBron. I see a lot of guys with Iverson. Like, I see a lot of those guys already unlocked for a lot of guys. Like, I'm sitting right now. I've played, I mean, some, but I haven't played a ton. And I'm sitting with six legends already. So... And I don't think every card has a legend version. So depending on how many there are, I think unlocking the ability to purchase packs would severely lower the length of how long people would play this game.
Well, to me, it's not even about. I think the whole roster should just be open, maybe, but they're tiers of cards. So they already have these tiers involved with the cards where you have to upgrade them to get extra moves. I think maybe what you do is you have these players available, but then you have to upgrade them through playing to get their ratings up to where they need to be. I think that's a little better, because would I like a Sean Kemp that, you know, right off the bat that I could keep working on and improve and get to a certain level of expertise there? Yeah, I would probably like that more than sitting around thinking I may never get a Sean Kemp. I think it's just weird. This sense of, I see why they did it, because people are really into opening packs now. But I'm not sure it really works for an arcade game like this. What, Rich, do you want to revisit this a little bit and tell me what you think?
Well, I think you guys kind of hit the most important things, which are the roster is there, but if you can't beat a certain level, your expectation of being able to play with certain players is not met. So, I mean, it's a difficult design because, as you said, right, if you can buy the players, well, that cuts off a certain group of your customer base that might not want to do that. They might feel cheated. You know, if you have it just earning through beating them and you get the player, that's fine. But as you said, the whole experience of opening a card pack is a big part of the sports game experience these days. So what you hope is that more players get to be added and that they can sort of keep fresh content coming with players and perhaps different versions of players with different eras or different sets, you know, and I have a feeling that will come. So while I don't love the mechanic, it's not as if I can point to an absolutely better way to do it when you have to consider online and offline. It almost might be what would be interesting, what they may or may not do, is sort of split it online or offline, right? Like if I'm just playing my son or somebody who loves basketball, it'd be fun to play as, you know, LeBron and Kobe versus, you know, I don't know, Jordan and Shaq, right? Like that would be amazing. But then online, you sort of got to earn it. That's probably the the best mix, which they may or may not do.
So it's funny you say that, Rich, because I was basically going to suggest the same thing, which is give the whole roster to you offline for single player, for local play, but then use the card pack idea for the online games, because that's more similar to what you get in other sports games where you're not going to go buy NBA 2K and be unable to play with a team or certain players on these teams in offline, in franchise, in regular online games. No, where they lock up players and that becomes part of the concept of a mode is in those individual modes. And so I think it's just weird to go into a game, especially an arcade game, knowing, all right, you know, I'm a Bucks fan, but it may be an hour or two before I even get a Bucks player, and then it might be Thon Maker. So I don't know. It's just odd to me that they block you from so many players. TJ, you love card packs. What do you think of the way they're handling the roster here?
I actually don't hate it that much. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good way to, you know, keep you invested in going in, because I don't know all the people that are on these teams. I mean, some teams only have like four guys, so I have no idea who those four could possibly be. So getting the packs just for leveling up is a good way, I thought, to go about that. The thing that that NBA Jam on Fire Edition did was they let you just pay like $10 and be like, okay, now you have everybody, mm-hmm. rather than trying to nickel and dime you with packs and stuff. And I do appreciate this game doesn't charge you for packs. Like, you can't go out and straight buy packs. Mm-hmm. And you actually have to earn them by playing and stuff. I thought that was nice. The only thing I don't really like is that there's no good way to compare players that I found. So yeah. If I pull, who did I get today? I got Legend Hakeem Olajuwon, and I think I have Epic David Robinson. And I'm like, I want to know how these guys stack up against each other, and there's no real good way to do that.
Yeah, you just have to look at their ratings and write them down or something.
Yeah, or take a screenshot and go back. Or yeah, I wish they would do that, because even if you're like, all right, I'm going to go play my friend real quick, and I want to try these different guys, it's like, well, now I have to go into the team to find these guys. It just seems like a clunky way to pick your team.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think of the roster in general, Chris? Yeah, it strong, or do they need to really flesh it out better?
I mean, it's strong. I think there are obvious people missing: Jordan, Kobe, those guys. Barkley,
those aren't coming.
You're not gonna get those, because again, some of those are signed on with. I was surprised that Shaq was in the game, considering the announcement of him mm-hmm. being on 2K18, being that close to that. So
yeah,
So you're not gonna get the big boys, but I think for what they have, I think there's a good fleshed out set of legends in the game. Walt Frazier, Oscar Robertson. I mean, you get down to the point where you're getting, you know, some of the real, like James Worthy in the game, like those kind of guys. I love the fact that they're in there, and it opens up the ability to play with. The other thing that I really like is that you can play. It doesn't have to be guys on the same team. The big difference mm-hmm. from NBA Jam is you can pick two guys from any team you want and really team them up. So I think they do a good job of that. And I think the other part of this is I love that the legends have signature moves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the legends have a very, like, Bill Russell's signature move, when he goes up for a block, he goes up for a block differently than anybody else and gets those little gold stars as he jumps. Or like, you know, Magic Johnson has a behind-the-back pass that he can use that no one else can. Or Dirk has his, you know, signature fadeaway. So, like, I think not only did a good job on the roster, I think the fact that each of those legends has has something specific and special about them makes them even a little more unique.
Yeah, I think the legends, they did a really good job with collecting them, because they do have to be signed off individually. So that's a lot of work, a lot of money involved there. I would like to see a way to involve the rest of the players. Like, there's a lot of players on the roster where you look at and you wonder, why would anyone ever play with these guys? I mean, why would I choose Roy Hibbert when I have some epic players and some legend players? So 95% of the roster you may never even utilize. So I'd like to see a way to incentivize you to actually use some of the different people on the roster. Otherwise, you're going to just end up playing. Basically, what I've done is I found a couple players I like. That I like Penny Hardaway from the start, Larry Johnson. That was my kind of main team at the start. And now I've swapped out LeBron in for Larry Johnson. That's kind of my team. And I just got Steph Curry, so I'm thinking of mixing him in there somehow. But most of these players I probably will never use, and I can't see why I would use, but I don't know. Rich, do you like the roster?
Yeah, it's fine. The best thing about, well, not the best thing, one of the best things about this game, which we haven't really mentioned that much, is that it looks really good, and the right. players have personality. You know, they stand out. Both the legends and the current players look terrific. And it's just it's a very pleasing aesthetic. The different courts are interesting. You know, it's both a throwback and a modern game at the same time. It runs smooth as well, too. So that makes the roster, like, you know, if it was a stuttering mess or there was a lot of choppiness or something, the players wouldn't look as good. But it's really smooth, and so the players look really good. And like I said, they have their personalities, their moves. So I'm okay with it. And, you know, it's basketball. Like, it's 2-on-2. So even if you've only got 50 or 75 guys or even 100 guys, like, that, there's still a lot of ability to mix and match. What's funny, though, like, I've just sort of been rolling with my team of Lambeer and Jimmy Butler for, like, 2 or 3 tournaments in a row. You sort of get attached to a group of guys or a couple of guys, and you realize, oh, my gosh, I have all these other players. Now, obviously, mm-hmm. when you level up, you get new players. And then, of course, you have that guilt of, well, man, I won 2 tournaments with Lambeer and Butler, but now I got, you know, LeBron and Isaiah Thomas. So, I mean, I'd be an idiot not to play with those 2 guys. So then the guys that you were, you know, you won a bunch of games with are just sitting there on the bench looking up, and you know you're never going to play with them again. There's no reason to play with them again. So, you know, that's the other interesting thing is, like, as a couple of new players come on, like, You have no use for any other people that you got cards for. It's an interesting dynamic.
So I want to talk a little bit about online play experiences. I don't know how much everyone has played online or if you have at all. My feeling on the online play is that the game plays very differently. And obviously that's the case with a lot of sports games. People offer you a different challenge. People exploit different elements of these games. And they go all out to win and use whatever advantages they can to do so online versus the AI that you face offline, which is maybe more predictable in a sense. But the online, in my experiences so far with online, have not been very fun. It's a lot of turnovers, seems very sloppy. It's almost as though, I don't know if the hitboxes are larger online, but it seems like shoves reach farther online than they do offline. I don't know if it's compensating for lag or what it might be, but there's a lot more shoving. It's a lot more physical. There's a lot more turnovers, a lot more steals, a lot more blocks. It's just a lot more stuff happening. But also, people have learned that if they can just get 3s off, now you do say that if you shove them, you are going to be able to prevent that somewhat. But if they get a 3 off, it's almost certainly going in, and that's even near half court. I've seen guys drain them. And there's also power-ups that guarantee you a score, and I had someone shoot a full court shot against me with that, which is not particularly fun, I don't think, to just automatically give them a score, but that's the way the power-up works. Chris, have you played online?
Yeah, I have played online. I've enjoyed my time online, because it's like Rich and you both said, the strategy that comes in online, I still think plays. I had a guy that was shooting 3-pointers against me. He brought Ray Allen in. And you could tell his RP was up high enough where I knew he had someone different than Ray Allen, but Ray Allen has a 10 3-point rating. So he hit 3 of them against me. I said, fine, you're going to do this. Every time Ray Allen spots up, as soon as he goes into the jump animation, I'm going to shove him. Mm-hmm. And so that's the strategy against 3-point shooters. And then I started using alley-oops, which fill your bar up faster. So I think for me, I have noticed as long as there's no lag, I have had a couple games where lag has been significant, and that affects the already iffy shot timing. But other than that, I haven't had a problem finding a game. I did have one time where finding a game got like 2 minutes, but for the most part, I've had no issues finding a game, and it's been, I'd say 70 to 80%. Most of the games I find are mostly lag free. And I've enjoyed my time there. I have noticed what you said, that the hitboxes seem a little bigger for defensively.
Yeah.
Very, very mainly defensively. And that may be because of how strong offense can be in the game.
Yeah. I mean, that could be by design. Rich, have you played online?
No, I have not, nor will I likely, because I don't need to, because I don't have any...
I kind of thought you were going to go that direction, yeah.
I don't have any ambition to become a leading online player in NBA Playgrounds. I'm not going to have the time, even if I wanted to. What I would love to do is be able to play you or TJ or Millennium.
Can't do that.
That would be fun. Right. So that is a big hole, and I guarantee you that is not something that they wanted to launch with. I would be shocked if they...
Supposedly that's going to be addressed in the near future.
I'm sure it will, because that is what I would love to do. But I don't go online and play any randoms in any sports video games. I do in Mario Kart because it's fun. Yeah. You know, and there's no online chat.
It's a different
chat.
Environment, right?
It's a completely different environment. That's exactly right. You know, there's no, well, maybe there is, but if there is, I haven't seen it. There's no cheesing or you know, in Mario Kart, right? You just you
hit him with those shells,
right?
You don't have to cheese in Mario Kart. Shells are the cheese.
That's
the game. OP.
That is the game. So anyway, I would love to play with my friends, and I'm looking forward to when that happens, because that would be a lot of fun. That's where I think the real joy of this game is not about playing the computer in tournaments to get card packs. It's about playing somebody you know and being able to laugh and complain about the game and blame the game when something goes wrong, and to, you know, blame your friend when they do something stupid, and all the fun that comes up from competing in a game like this against somebody you know. As long as the game it works, then everything else tends to be a whole lot more fun when you're just playing against your buddy. And I think that's where the real hidden potential of this game is in being able to play online against your friends and live stream it and just laugh and have fun and get really angry all at the same time.
DJ, have you played online, or did you look at this as an offline game for you?
I would like to play it online, but the one time that I tried to search for someone, it spent 3 minutes searching and didn't give anything back. So I will try that again at some other point.
Yeah. All right. So as I mentioned earlier, it's a potential for sequels here, and definitely the potential for content to be added coming up. What would you most like to see that you think would improve the game, whether that's fixing something or adding something? Rich?
I would definitely like the ability to inbound the ball right away. Mm-hmm. I don't like the delay. I understand the delay.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I mentioned I have a theory for that, and it just very, very much just a theory. But I think based on positioning where players end up on the offensive end of the court after they score, it's possible if you were able to rush the ball in quickly that it'd just be back and forth dunks. That you'd be able to take advantage of people being out of position, and they're setting defenders up to get in the way of that happening. I don't think this is the best solution if that is the reason, but that's kind of what I'm leaning towards, why I see they did this, but I don't like it.
I think it's refilling the stamina as well at the same time.
Yeah, that plays a role also.
I mean, to me, it interrupts the flow of the game. And that's my biggest problem with it. I completely understand that they have a reason for doing it. My idea would be to just, you know, wipe and then have the guys immediately back where they need to be instead of waiting for them to move back there. right? Because that, if that's the effect that you want, then just eliminate the 4 to 5 seconds it takes to get to that effect every single time a shot is made. Mm-hmm. You know, the games are not long, which is another nice thing that I don't think we mentioned. They're nice, quick games. Some games are shorter than others in tournaments. Another great thing, right? You know, we always talk all the time about how the games that we play, the sports games that we play, demand so much time. This game does not. You can hop in for 20 minutes and play 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 games sometimes. So, you know, it kind of seems silly to complain about the extra time it requires of you in a game that a single match is so short. But to me, it's more about it interrupting the flow.
Right.
Than anything else. It's just it's awkward and uncomfortable, and I wish they would just wipe and immediately let me inbound it and put the guys where they want them to be in the first place.
TJ, do you have something in mind that would improve the game in your mind the most?
For me, the thing that would get me coming back more often is going to be cleaning up the shot timing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the number one thing, we have not mentioned it yet. I don't know what we've been waiting for, but... when a game finishes, it says end of match. When has a basketball game ever been a match? This isn't,
I'm pretty sure I just said match. I'm pretty sure I just said match like 30 seconds ago, but other than that, I think you're completely right.
I believe that's because you wanted to match up with your friends. So, sorry. but yeah, I would definitely like, being able to play friends and stuff. That would be very nice.
Well,
and,
I just had to check, TJ, and Saber Interactive, they're based out of New Jersey, so this is something you should be able to figure out. I thought it could be like a Canadian thing or something, but no.
No. I actually looked. I looked up their address once, and it's literally just a house in the middle of a street, so maybe that's just a mailing address or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I think... it's got a chance. It's got a chance of being okay and something worth coming back to. If they did add something kind of like how MLB added the events this year to give you reason to use some of those other cards.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. That would be good. Just because, like you said, some of those cards you're going to open and they're dead before you even flip them over because you're just never going to use them. But
you know, I'll add on to that, right? Like I mentioned, play with friends. But something else that would be great is the ability to do a quick tournament. So, like, we could have a quick press row tournament with the four of us, for example, and just in a matter of a half an hour have a quick ladder, you know, a couple semifinals and finals. Like, there's a lot of opportunities, especially if you're an online game where you have just a couple of players against each other where they could do some really fun live events, like to TJ's point, maybe not the live cards, but the live events that would get people to play.
All right, Millennium, what would be your suggestion be here?
Two things that I want to see, one for this game and one for Playgrounds 2. Mm-hmm. This game, I want to see 2v2 patched in. I think that was also one of the things they were talking about at some point, maybe. Is not only to have 1v1 with your teams of two, but actually one person controlling every player on the court.
Yeah, I think gonna have to work on mechanics there as far as with the CPU, you can call for alley oops and things of that nature. You're gonna have to find a way to manually do those things with each player being controlled. But yeah, go on.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And the other thing that I want to see in Playgrounds 2, I want to see three versus three, and I'm not talking about users, but I want to see the game expand to 3v3 because while 2v2 is good and very NBA Jam and arcade-esque, I think 3v3 opens up a lot more. And again, you'd have to reprogram the AI, but I think it opens
court
up
court bigger, things like that.
Yeah, exactly, things like that. I think it would open up a lot of strategy options in terms of lineups. Mm-hmm. Like when you go for an alley oop, you know, who goes up for the alley oop? Is the guy outside who's playing defense? Do you put two guys on LeBron because he's so much better? Like that kind of stuff. And not saying you could set that, but I mean, you know, I'd like to see that for Playgrounds 2.
So. All right. Excellent. Well, you know, we'll probably get more into this or revisit the game in a few weeks. Next week, our next episode. We're gonna talk some about the Hot Wheels expansion to Forza Horizon 3. There will be Madden NFL 18 news for us to talk about. So it's going to be an interesting episode to look forward to there. Thank you, Rich Grisham. Thank you, Chris Millennium from Operation Sports. Thank you, TJ Lowerman, that sports gamer. And thank you, listeners out there. We'll be back again soon with the latest from the sports gaming world. Take care.